Everybody say the power to forget. I found out how powerful forgetting is. And there's some things that I'll probably talk about I wish I had known earlier in my life, because I don't forget stuff. I would hold on to things and set you up to get even. I took one time almost 3 years to get even. Became the person's closest friend, so they thought. And then just when they were most vulnerable, I reminded them of what they had done to me 2.5 years ago. Yeah, but that turned me to Philippians 3. That changed my life. And I found out that not forgetting and not letting go can change your path. Philippians 3, King James Version, verses 13 and 14. Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth," say reaching forth, "unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I've been thinking about, I think about a lot of stuff, but I've been thinking about the new year. I'm thinking about people that fool themselves making New Year's resolutions. But more importantly, I was reading some headlines of some things that some distraught people were doing once the new year came in. And it made me think about people and how they're going into the new year. Some are going in and they're on a roll. They were very successful in 2023, and they figured because of that, they're going to just roll right in to 2024, and everything's going to be fine, just like it was. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying. Some people didn't look forward to coming into the new year because things haven't been going well for a number of different reasons. We have to get to the place, or I should say, one of the things I want us to understand today is that we have to get to the place where we know that what we accomplished or didn't accomplish in 2023 or 2022 or 2021 is not the benchmark for how successful you're going to be in 2024. It has nothing to do with it. 2023, be history. The truth is, whether you accomplish something or not, it's not a measure of your potential. Your potential is your potential. As I alluded to, my entire life was changed by two events that I refused to let go of. First one, 14 years old, go to basketball tryouts, never having seen a basketball before in my life. And in the gym class in front of everybody, the coach says to me, "Carr, you are the lousiest excuse for an athlete I've ever seen. A fairy godmother couldn't turn you into a ball player." In front of everybody in the gym. I had to get even. I would not forget. I wouldn't forget that. It changed my life. I'll tell you how in a minute. The other thing was, I had made a choice to give the Jesus stuff a chance. That's where I was thinking at 16. I go to church, join the church, get water baptized, join the choir, have a solo. I'm ready to serve the Lord. Never got to sing it. My pastor gets into a fist fight with his guest in the pulpit during his anniversary service. I never forgot that. How did it affect you? I stayed away from church from age 16 to 34. Read the Bible, please. If the Bible were true, those folks wouldn't have been acting like a nut in what they called God's house. And I never let it go. I pulled away from everybody to teach myself how to play basketball, to mush it in the coach's face. It's the only reason. Didn't like the game, didn't care about the game, but he's not going to speak to me like that in front of everybody and get away with it. So I dedicated my life to learning how to play a game. All the other things that I love doing, I forsook them. Because I wasn't letting this go. I was not willing to let it go. We have to be willing to let things go. Because it set my life on a different path. I believe I wound up where God wanted me, but the cost was greater. And I went through some things and put people through some things that I didn't have to go to, and I certainly didn't have to put them through. But because I was holding on to things in the past, that's what I felt I had to do. And then as the years transgressed, I went from couldn't let it go to wouldn't let it go, because it had become a lifestyle. It had become a lifestyle. But don't just think it's all bad stuff. We have to let go of even the good stuff. If it's in your past, it's your past. And it has nothing to do with you moving forward if you let it go. Philippians 3, I'm going to read several verses, beginning with verse 4. I'm in the Passion Translation. The Apostle Paul said, "It's true that I once relied on all that I had become." Listen to this carefully. "I had a reason to boast and impress people with my accomplishments more than others. For my pedigree was impeccable. I was born a true Hebrew of the heritage of Israel as a son of a Jewish man from the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised 8 days after my birth and was raised in the strict tradition of Orthodox Judaism, living a separated and devout life as a Pharisee. And concerning the righteousness of the Torah, no one surpassed me. I was without a peer. Furthermore, as a fiery defender of the truth, I persecuted the messianic believers with religious zeal. Yet all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them, and I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord." All the things that he accomplished in his life, all the status he had gained, he let it go. Because it didn't do anything to put him in a position to get closer to Jesus. It had nothing to do with his calling. He had to let it go. He said, "All my accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them and regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord." To truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past, letting go of everything from my past, and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of this greatness. my passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. My righteousness will be his based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings, and I will be one with him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. Listen to this, folks. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I first fasten my heart to the future instead. He said, I forget all of my past. But he said something else after that. And revelation came. I forget all of my past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. You have to have an as I so you can forget. You can't just forget. There has to be a purpose for it. And when you latch onto that purpose, it becomes easier to forget. He said, I forget as I. You have to be doing, you can't just forget because you're not doing anything and you'll remember. You forget because you're fastening yourself to something greater than what you were remembering. I had to fasten myself to something greater than playing basketball. Greater. You all know the story. Brother Hagin can tell them over and over. I can too. I'm in a championship basketball game. I'm on the free throw line. I'm standing there. You bounce the ball, you get ready to shoot the free throw, and I just stand there like this with my face scrunched up. And I didn't hear anything. I heard a whistle. And I looked and folks were walking off the court, so I figured somebody called the timeout. I walked over, the coach was like, Foots, what's the matter with you? And I'm like, I don't know, but this is my last game. And he looked at me and said, what do you mean your last game? What are you talking? He said, it's that church stuff, isn't it? I looked at him and I said, yeah, it is. I played one more game after that, and that was in the church league. And I'm going to create a new word. It was one of the most unfun experiences of my life. Because I had fastened my heart to something else. And all the stuff from my past didn't mean anything anymore. It didn't matter what happened because I have a future. But in order for me to connect with my future, I had to give up my past. All of my past. See, we're very good at taking portions of our past. We have to take it and lay it all down and turn and walk away from it. Jeremiah 29, New International Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. Because you've latched on to the plans he has for you. And in order to latch on to the plans that he has for you, you have to let go of the plans you have for you. And God, a lot of people tell me, but you don't understand. I feel that this is my spirit telling me this. The Spirit of God is not going to go against the Word of God. God's not going to tell you to do one thing and then send His Spirit to prompt you to do something else. I believe a God sent one, but not the God. Paul said in verse 7, yet in of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I have now forsaken them, and I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord. And to truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. Think about it. Does anyone go around boasting about their failures? Not publicly, maybe. But you hold them inside. And you won't do something because you think you're going to fail again. Because every time I've tried this in the past, every time I've tried this where? In the past, it didn't work. It didn't work. Somebody may have wronged you, may have mistreated you in the past, and you hold everybody else you come into contact with accountable. Because they do something that reminds you of it. They have no clue of what you're talking about or why you're feeling the way you feel, because they're not even thinking that way. But that lets me know what you've held on to becomes your vision. And you start imitating it. That's why Paul says, I let go as I fasten myself to Christ for my future, because now that becomes my vision. And you can't look at a vision this way. Unless there's one exception, you realize you're going in the wrong direction. And so you're looking like that so you can turn around and go in the right direction. I'll have to listen to this to get that because that's not in my notes. Thank you. Paul said, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I have one compelling focus. I forget all the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. And verse 14 gives us another revelation in the Passion Translation. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal of gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. I run straight. I don't take any detours. I don't go off to look at something that seems to be more exciting. I run straight. Why? Because that path is clear. The anointing for me to get there is in the path. If the path is straight, then I'm straight. If I get off the path, who knows what I'm going to run into? And you don't have to like or always feel good about the ways God keeps you on path. We were driving back on the Palisades. And I had a great set of eyes sitting next to me. And I wasn't always appreciating the little more to the left. Yeah. It was snowing. You could see about, if this is the where we're sitting and this is the windshield, we could see about to here. And I couldn't, the edge, you know how I knew I got a little too close to the edge? I'd hear boom, 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 boom. Well, why depend on that? When God gave you a help meet, they just said, move over to the left a little bit. Stay behind the car, And you want to say, I know how to drive. If I didn't listen to me, I know how to drive. But Paul said, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So, let all who are fully mature have the same passion, and if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. So, not only are we supposed to grab on to the future God has for us, the desire to do it has to grab on to us. We have to be gripped by it. The only way to be gripped by it is so that you can be fully immersed. I can't grip my wife from over here. I have to move, and she has to move. Really, for me to grip her, she has to move to me, but for this demonstration, I'll move to her. And then I can put hands on her and grip her. If I'm over here and she's over there, I can't grip her. I can't grip her. Whatever's causing her to not be in grip distance, she has to get rid of. And then the gripper can come. Paul says, my beloved friends, imitate my walk with God and follow all those who walk according to the way of life we modeled before you. For there are many who live by different standards. But you going to let them get away with that? No. You know I'm not going to let them get away with that. That's right, because you can't let people just treat you any old kind of way. These are people who cared about me. Quote unquote. They'd remind me. Why would they do that? They walk according to a different way of life. But for me, I didn't know it was a different way of life. It was the only life I knew. I didn't know anything about enemies of the cross. I didn't know that doom was waiting for me. I didn't know that. In verse 20, Paul says, we are a colony of heaven on earth as we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to go back to verse 14 in Philippians 3. When Paul says, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. Running straight for the divine invitation means no hesitation, no doubts, no fears. No doubts, no fears. Look at Hebrews 12 to show you what's necessary. First three verses is the Amplified Classic. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside some encumbrance. You got to see it's wrong right away. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony of the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight. So some of the weight we have to bear. We have to get rid of the unnecessary weight. And that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. That's where I was. I didn't know it, But when someone did something to me, it immediately ran into my memory banks. I didn't have AI, but it was faster than AI. I had a plan ready to go. Unnecessary weight and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to entangled us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Said, let us run. That means that's a choice we have to make. Looking away from all that will distract. The last few years, we've had distraction after distraction after distraction after distraction. We talked about viruses and politics and racial issues, not about how to be effectively witness to people and get them saved and get them transformed. And we forgot all about that because we allowed a distraction. It says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize, the same prize that we should be striving for, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. What do you need before you can despise and ignore shame? Shame has to be in your face. And you have to despise it. Despise it. And ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison to your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your mind. If we hold on to that unnecessary weight and sin, we won't be able to run with patient endurance. Why? Because we'll be focusing on what's annoying us. If we're supposed to be run out outside running 3 miles and it's snowing, the snow distracts us. So we don't run 3 miles. We run, say, a mile. God understands. After all, he's brought the snow anyway. It's a distraction. I broke up that word, distraction. I wanted to know if tract was a word, T-R-A-C-T. And I knew it, you know, you have a tract of land. But I also found out that tract, T-R-A-C-T, means a group of organs or body parts functioning properly, like the digestive tract, the respiratory tract, has to be functioning properly. This, D-I-S, several years ago, back in the 90s, I think, that was the buzzword among the young folks. Something happened, say, oh man, he dissed me. I'd be in my office and someone would send their, usually it was the young men. I don't think I ever had one of the girls come in. But they send them to Mr. Carr's office. Says, what happened? Oh, Mr. Carr, he dissed me. What does that mean? So I looked up the word D-I-S in the Unabridged Dictionary and found out it was a word. Now it's an official word. Those dictionaries have made it an official word with the gangster meaning. But then the only reference to dis was to dispater, which is a Roman god of the underworld. So think about it. When your honesty bows down to a god of the underworld, you become dishonest. When your obedience bows down to the God of the underworld, you become disobedient. When your focus, your track is off because it bowed down to a God of the underworld, you get distracted because it's pulling you away from the path that God has for you. It's messing with your mind, so your desire is to pull away. We don't say pull away, though. We say, my season's over. We say, I need a break. We say, God understands. No, he loves us. But what makes you think God will understand that even though he anointed you, gave you everything you needed, you still won't do it, and he's going to understand that? It makes no sense. But we use those as reasons to embrace the distraction. The total definition for distract: to draw or direct something such as someone's attention to a different object or in different directions at the same time. You can't do two things at the same time and do them both well. So the enemy's coming to distract. And God, notice God didn't say, I will remove the distraction. He said, look away from all that will distract. So that means we must have the ability to look at something and say, this is a distraction. I'm not looking at this. Because if that's not so, then how can God tell us to look away from all that will distract? If I can't determine what's a distraction and what's not. You know how you know when something's a distraction? I'll tell you something Pastor Clinton told us. How do they study for counterfeit bills? They study the real thing. And they know so much of the real thing in absolute detail. When a counterfeit comes, when a phony comes, it sticks out like a sore thumb. So if you can't tell the difference between God's purpose and a distraction, you're spending too much time hanging out with a distraction. You become familiar with it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. If you're telling me that you did what you did because Jesus told you to, that lets me know you're spending time in the wrong company. Because he said the voice of a stranger will run from. As I look down the street, I don't see anybody running. I haven't always ran. Which means that the voice of the stranger was not strange. And the voice of the stranger had to be saying some things that I was believing and thinking about and pondering. Like on the Arsenio Hall show, things that make you go, I was thinking about some things. And I should have been running from them. Maybe the reason you're not hearing clearly is because you're distracted. And you're thinking about the distraction. Going back to forgetting, God was notorious for moving his chosen away from their path. He told Abram, leave. Leave your mama, your daddy. Abram had to leave the protection of the family and go to a place he never knew, never saw. And God didn't even tell him. He said, go to a place where I'll show you. when Moses found out who he really was, he left Pharaoh's house. He couldn't stay there. He had to get away from it. We already heard about what Paul did. He said, I forget all of my past. It seems that when God has plans, God, in addition to sending Abram and all of his people out, when he was ready to use him, he changed his name. He said, I don't even want you called Abram. Now you're Abraham. And your wife isn't Sarai, she's Sarah. Change their names. But no affiliation with their past. That's why I don't go by the nickname Foots anymore. That's not representative of who I am in Christ. That's representative of who I was outside of Christ. And I don't embrace that life anymore. And think about what Jesus did. He stepped out from heaven and put him, think about this. The Bible tells us in John, I believe in John 1, all things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. He put himself in subjection to his creation, knowing the plans they had for him. He had to forget, for all intent and purpose, I'm the Son of God. No, I'm Savior of the world. And that requires me to humble myself and become vulnerable and choosing to be revealed as a man. And because of that obedience in Philippians 2:9, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God his Father. So it didn't matter all the people that Jesus healed, all the miracles that he performed, didn't matter. He still had to go to the cross. He still had to spend 3 days in hell. He still had to do those things. He couldn't say, do you know how many people I healed? He had to affix himself to God's plan. But I got to give you one strategy before I close. Romans 5. I'm still in the Passion. Our faith guarantees us, starting at verse 2, our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. What will develop patient endurance? Pressures. Verse 5, and patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So how do you develop patient endurance? You get stretched. You get stretched. One of the things I found out from going through the physical therapy sessions is that my muscles are so tight, they're pulling joints in the wrong direction, and to correct it, those muscles have to be loosened or untightened. So they give me some exercises to do. One of them is a stretching exercise where they give me a resistance band, and I have to pull it and hold it. And as you're holding it, sometimes it gets to the point your arms start twitching, but you got to hold it straight, and I got to make sure I have myself turned. I'm like, how long do I have to stay like this? And they said, you got to count to 50. 50, 10, 20, 30, 40. But the therapist said something to me. The strength it needs doesn't come in the stretching. It comes in the holding. It comes in the holding. Where is it? Oh, what is the verse? I didn't write it down. Oh, yes, I did. I read it already. Patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. When we're holding, the more you hold, the more you can hold. The longer I hold this, the longer I can hold it. This doesn't do it. It's stretch and hold. It hurts. Hold on. But it's been 30 seconds already. Hold on. Donnie McClurkin wrote a song. After you've done all you can, you just stand and be sure. God has a purpose. God has a plan. All we have to do is hold on. Then you do it again. Hold on. It's not as bad as the first time. Do it again. It's not as bad as the second time. Why? Because the longer I hold, the longer I can hold. And we have to learn how to hold on. And as the psalmist wrote, just be strong. A patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. I know I'm not going to have to be conscious of walking like this soon. But it requires patient endurance, and I have to hold on. Know the difference between patient endurance and your past. You don't want to hold on to your past. You want to let it go. Turn to somebody and go, let it go. I think that's all I'm going to give you today. Say, strength comes in holding the stretch. So don't see it as stress. See it as you being stretched. Because one thing that'll happen, you'll understand your faith a lot better. You'll understand your faith. You say, I didn't know my faith could do this. I didn't know. Hold, just hold on. Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving us such a sure word, such a simple word with monumental meanings. Lord, we repented for letting go. We didn't understand. But we understand now that the only thing we need to let go of is all of our past and cling to the future we have in Christ and to press toward that mark, that prize, the high calling of Christ and nothing else. We thank you that we clearly see all distractions and we pay no attention to them. We stay focused on our goal and we're going to achieve it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stretch that muscle. Hold on. You get stronger. Now, is there anyone here? Because if you're holding on, if you want to hold on, you have to have the one, the author and finisher of your faith, who gives you the ability to hold on. And that's the man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said something else that we have to pay attention to. No one gets to the Father but by me. Not me, me, him, Jesus. So the Apostle Paul told us how easy it is, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. That's it. So is there anyone in here and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior and you realize that you need to, and you need to do it now? You know what you've been holding on to. You didn't think you had the power to forget, but you do, but he's the power source. So would you raise your hand, please? So why raise my hand? Well, I'm going to ask you to make a short confession. Just like the word said, you're going to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You're saved. Is there anyone here?